You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Since lockdown began on August 18th, the art sector has lost an estimated $466 million, or around $13 million each day. Recently, over 50 industry leaders signed an open letter to the government asking for support during the current lockdown. They claimed it has meant shows have been postponed or cancelled, income has been lost, and artists' mental health has suffered. Following the letter, the government announced last week $37.5 million in emergency funding to support the arts sector. Arts, Culture and Heritage Minister Carmel Cipollone said the funding will provide immediate relief to artists that have been impaired by lockdown and will give security to the sector going forward. However, many artists have raised concerns that although the funding is appreciated, it is nowhere near enough to properly support them in the future. I spoke to Arts, Culture and Heritage Minister Carmel Cipollone, Creative New Zealand's Kath Cardiff, Basement Theatre's Kat Ruka and Nightsong New Zealand's Ben Crowder about the funding. Carmel Cipollone said it was a direct response to immediately support artists and art organisations.
So the $37.5 million that was announced yesterday for the art sector is in direct response to what we've heard from the sector. The sector have been really impacted by COVID and more recently with the Delta variant. It's really had an impact on arts organisations and arts practitioners, artists themselves. And so in collaboration with them, talking about what might need to occur, we've put forward this $37.5 million package to support artists and arts organisations now. It is emergency relief, and you know that's certainly what we've been hearing from the sector, that they are feeling in many instances like failure is imminent, because of their inability to be able to earn money and potentially, you know, pay the bills that come with being an arts organisation or an artist, not having an income. Many across the arts sector have accessed things like the wage subsidy, the resurgence payment has been helpful, but we know in many instances those government supports, although welcomed and although they have helped, they haven't necessarily gone far enough with regards to protecting people from closure or any type of imminent failure.
She later explained that they were continuing to monitor the situation, but could not ensure further funding yet.
You know, it's very uncertain times, and I know that the art sector has been hit hard, as have some other sectors, tourism, hospitality, a range of other industries. What we're trying to do is respond to what the different industries are asking for. That is certainly where this relief package has come from. But, you know, we're continuing to assess the situation, and that's what we have to do. Week by week, what is happening? How are different industries being impacted? What are they calling for? What do they need? Are we able to deliver on that? And so that's kind of an ongoing a journey that we're going through as COVID and the pandemic continue to be with us. And we will continue to listen and to respond. And I'm absolutely cognizant of the pressures that are on the arts sector because of COVID.
That was Arts, Culture and Heritage Minister Carmel Cipollone. Meanwhile, Creative New Zealand's Kath Cardiff said that there are a range of ways they will support artists, with the $5 million allocated to her organisation.
Well, we'll be topping up all our current funding programs, so annual arts grants, which is being announced this week, and arts grants between now and the end of this calendar year. We'll also be topping up the Creative Communities Scheme to allow for more projects in all the regions around New Zealand, and also we'll be allocating some to our investment clients, especially the ones in Auckland who are experiencing extreme difficulty at the moment.
She later went on to explain the lockdown primarily impacts performing artists, with shows that are cancelled and postponed.
It's an inconsistent impact, but it impacts primarily on those presenting live experiences for attendances, and particularly for the performing arts. It's excruciating because, you know, especially under the new level two rules, which started off at 50 people within a space, there's very, very little in the performing arts that can be presented with any degree of profitability at that scale of attendance. So a lot of people have had to cancel, postpone projects that were already up. And the fact that Auckland continues to be in level three, and that is where a lot of work is generated and a lot of artists reside, but they can't get out. So you can see that the impact is significant. Of course, there's a financial impact, and will get worse if lockdowns increase. I mean, the whole thing just exponentially gets worse. It's not so much just about sunk costs that can't be recouped, but it's also loss of income. I mean, that's the major problem. Of course, the longer it goes on, the worse that is. But I also think that there's a huge impact emotionally on everybody. You know, I mean, how do you plan for the future now? You know, it's one thing to access funding to help you get through this current situation. But what happens to all those plans you've got for next year? I mean, do you go ahead? Do you not? I mean, all of that is incredibly destabilizing for the sector.
That was Creative New Zealand's Kath Cardiff. I also spoke to Basement Theatre's Kat Ruka, who spoke about how lockdown had impacted Basement Theatre.
So obviously the lockdown has impacted us pretty severely. We had to immediately close the venue down, and we didn't know obviously how long that was going to be. And so it's been really, really hard to, you know, plan forward with everything. It means that our programmer, Nisha Madhan, has had to work the whole time to postpone all of the shows that were programmed. You know, we've had to take a big hit financially. We're certainly not going to land where we thought we would.
She also spoke about how lockdown impacted herself and other artists personally.
This kind of postponing gigs and shows and things like that, it's what's going to happen is everybody's going to have all of their work bottlenecked into next year, and you go from having absolutely nothing to everything being postponed into like a really short time frame. We're back in level one, and my concern is for everybody's well-being when we come back into level one, how much work everybody's going to be doing and just the potential burnout around that. So that's something that I've got my mind on, certainly for my postponed gigs as well.
Finally, she went on to explain that although the funding was much welcomed, it needed to be accessible and more will be needed soon.
I was actually part of the small group that went to the Ministry of Culture and Heritage to advocate for these relief funds. The outcome has been really great in terms of these relief funds being open to sole traders and independent artists who aren't attached to companies. So that's really wonderful. And yes, hopefully the majority of our basement artists will be able to access these funds. I just really hope that the process is as accessible as possible to, you know, to our most vulnerable artists who don't normally exist on that funding circuit as well. A lot of our artists aren't funded. They can't access Creative New Zealand funding. I think the relief funds are great for crisis management, and it's about sort of, you know, you triage the emergency. But the bigger picture that really needs addressing is sustainability, and for a career in the arts to be actually sustainable long term. And so there's also a lot of kōrero coming up, which is a really great thing to come from all of this hardship, just around reinvigorating that discussion around the artist wage. And it's just becoming more and more apparent that this is needed, and that actually in Aotearoa we advocate for more funding rather than for things like wages and sustainability a lot of the time. And so there's just a lot of work to do around that, around bringing back, you know, a livable wage for artists. And I think that, you know, if Aotearoa really values the arts, then we have to value the artists themselves, and they have to be able to, you know, at a very minimum survive.
That was Basement Theatre's Kat Ruka. Finally, I spoke to Night Song New Zealand's Ben Crowder about how the funding is being used and whether it will actually support independent artists.
Look, I understand there's a huge problem. You know, there isn't enough money, full stop, for the arts in New Zealand. Creative New Zealand has been given an additional $5 million. I'm not going to claim to understand the rationale for why they spent it as they did. It worries me that it doesn't help organisations such as Night Song in terms of how we deal with the impacts ourselves. It may affect some other organisations, and also I think it will make more money available in the general arts grants in the next couple of rounds, or the next round, because anyone who has now been funded as an annual grantee will not be applying for one of the smaller pods of arts grants, because you're no longer eligible at that point. You know, it's how much of that money actually gets down to artists. I understand Creative Communities has got more monies, but, you know, obviously a lot of those monies are going towards community events, not necessarily to artists. Artists are actually a small part of many of the projects. Some of them might be led by artists. So it's, you know, it does concern me how many artists will actually be supported, but also what's happening to existing artists who have got some support but need additional support at this stage. So a company like Night Song has no additional support.
He later went on to explain that the grant does not look like it was designed with independent artists in mind.
That particular grant seems like it is a grant that is to try and solve all the gaps, and it feels like the independent artists or the individuals, I'm not saying they were an afterthought, but it doesn't seem to have been designed for them. You know, it reads a little bit like, oh, and the independent, you know, the sole traders. I struggle to see how many artists would be able to supply the amount of information that's required. It seems like something that a performing arts venue or a bigger organization would be able to access. I think it's all those things. Most artists don't pay themselves a salary. So there's all these terms such as, is your business viable? What does that mean for an individual artist? I mean, is that means they can't pay their rent? Does that mean they can't buy food? I mean, when another organization, when they are talking about trading viably, it's once they're paid all those wages and all their costs, then is it trading viably? So it's too entwined, I think, for most artists to be able to look at it that way. They're not a small corporation.
Finally, he explained that the funding is still nowhere near enough to properly support artists.
No, I mean, it never is enough. I understand we're in a pandemic. I understand we're in a crisis. Artists are incredibly resilient, that they have been, and this is not saying we don't need help. But I think also we are in a time where artists, I don't think, are valued in the way they should be. There isn't enough funding across the board. And look, even coming in or out of COVID or what have you, and I do believe it has become harder and harder for young and emerging artists to get support in this country. Everything has become more and more expensive. The demands that, you know, there are gatekeepers or people that hold the money further up the system, and it's sort of like the trickle-down effect. But for artists are at the bottom. It was disappointing to read what was on offer. And look, in real terms, and I'm talking about from my own organization, it's not going to help us. But yet, I mean, last year, I think we employed 69 artists, but we are hunting for, you know, $500, $1,000. Anywhere we are looking for money, and there's nothing to help with those added or increased costs and increased risks that have happened because of COVID.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.